Good morning, everybody. Lovely to be here with you again, and thank you to the elders for inviting me to share the word with you this morning. It's wonderful how great hymns come out of great revivals, isn't it? Very, very challenging words there. Richard was just sharing with us about the Wesleys and the hymns that came from there and how they impacted our nation. Well, I can remember being in a huge refugee camp in Thailand. There are 120,000 people there in 1979, 1980. And God moved in a remarkable way among Cambodians who were in that camp. And it wasn't revival as such, because they hadn't been nominal Christians before. They'd been Buddhists, but they'd come through the great trial of the Pol Pot regime, and the good news came to them in the camp, because a pastor who had escaped from Cambodia and his little flock of 50 Christians began to share the gospel with that 120,000 people. And I met that pastor. One of the most memorable 2 hours I've ever spent in my life, in a little thatched hut in the middle of that camp on a searing hot day. And he said to me in Khmer, he said, God said to me, I will give you a key to open the kingdom of heaven to your people. And he said, when we got to this camp, We made it out. He had to bury his Bible and pretend, well, he was a farmer anyway, but he buried his Bible, dug it up occasionally to have a read. And one day God showed him it was time to leave, and he got his people together and they escaped into Thailand, which was an amazing thing in itself, because the border was sown with landmines and pits, man pits and everything else. But anyway, they got through. And he said, we sat down and we discussed together, and we said we could either sit here and have our meetings in our hut and do that, or else we could go and share the gospel with people around us. And they decided they would go and share the gospel with people around them. And as they began to share the gospel, the Holy Spirit began to move. God just did an amazing thing. And I think they said in 3 months, 5,000 people were baptized. You know, well, I mean, yeah, it's amazing. And walking around that camp, you could feel the presence of the Lord there. You know, and I've been in Thailand a few months only, but the presence of the Lord was so real in that place. It's like Jesus was hovering over, you know. He was there. He was there right in the midst of it. And the reason I'm saying that is because the Khmers love to sing their own hymns, and the ones they sing are the ones that were born in that camp in Khao Dang in Thailand, 1979 to 80. Praise the name of the Lord. And it's wonderful to know that God moves in ways that are lasting ways as well, because not long ago we met in Cambodia a young lady. She's now a mother with grown up children, but she was a young lady in that camp, and we met her. She's a lovely Christian. Her husband is the president of the Australian Khmer Church, or the Khmer Churches in Australia. And she told me that one of the young men who was in that camp, who we knew well, is still going on well with the Lord out in California. And he's leading a church in California where thousands and thousands of Khmers live. So, praise the name of the Lord. You know, when God begins to work, who can stop him? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When God is on the move, nobody can stop the Lord. Glory to his wonderful name. Hallelujah. And the wonderful thing is, he wants you and me to be involved in all that he's doing in our little place, wherever God has put us, that there is the place that he is going to use you and me for the glory of his name and the extension of his kingdom in the earth. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray before we look into the word. Lord, we're so thankful to you, Lord, for being who you are, for all you've done. We thank you, Lord, for this precious time together this morning. We pray, Lord, as we look into your word now, that you would continue to speak to our hearts, because you have been speaking already, Lord. We're very conscious of that right from the start, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. So please continue to speak to us, Lord, now by your Holy Spirit, and teach us things, Lord, that we need to know deep in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you'd like to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Yes. Thank you, Marjorie. Yes. Hebrews chapter 13 is where we're going this morning. And we'll just break in where Marjorie broke in. Yeah. Okay. Let your conduct, verse 5, let your way, your lifestyle be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's strongly emphatic in the original language. Three times, I will never, never leave you. Never, never, never leave you nor forsake you, the Lord says. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what can man do to me. Remember those who rule over you or who lead you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about or carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify or set apart the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who lead you or rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete or perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. At the end of the 13th chapter he says this. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you, and greet all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. The end of a beautiful letter, he says, I've only written a few words. Hallelujah. God is in the details. Thank you, Marjorie, for reading earlier. Thank you, Brian, for talking about going outside the camp, and Richard for emphasizing that too, because God is here to speak to us, and he speaks through us in the body, doesn't he? Not just the person up at the front, but God moves through us, and he speaks through us as he wants to impart his message to our hearts. And I just want to share with you a few words that the Lord has laid on my heart this morning, and trust that God will bless them to your heart as he has to mine. Wonderful thing is, in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the God, he was God yesterday, he is God today, he will be God tomorrow and every tomorrow until he comes again and then for all eternity. Changes, God is outside time. He's not confined by time. He entered into time in the person of Jesus Christ in a place called Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, but he is outside time, and if you like, time is contained in him. That's an amazing thought. But we live in time, and so we are affected by time, but we are also affected by God. Glory to his wonderful name. And the eternal is present in our daily lives. That's another amazing thought. Verse 20, I'm going to concentrate on 20 and 21 actually. Now, may the God of peace. Now, God is the God of now. Hallelujah. That is his name. It is his nature. He is now. He is now. Here, right now. When Moses met the Lord at that burning bush, and he had a terrifying encounter with the living God, and God said, "I'm going to send you to my people." And Moses said, "Lord, what name shall I give?" And you remember what the Lord said to him. "My name is I am. Actually, I am. I exist. I'm here." I'm here to help you. I'm here to deliver you. I'm here to set you free from the miserable state of life in which you've been living under those Egyptian oppressors. I'm here to deliver you. I am that I am. Wonderful name of God. That's, you'll find that in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Let's just go there for a moment, all right? Because I want to go on back into the beginning of the Bible for a few verses just to share with you. If you have a Bible with you, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13, Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" What was God saying through the revelation of his name? Well, he was saying, he is the all-powerful God. He is the Almighty. He is El Shaddai. He is Elohim. He is lots of beautiful, wonderful names. But the one that he wanted his people to know is that I am. I am is with you. I am with you. In your life today, as I was yesterday and as I will be tomorrow. Another reading of it could be, "I am all that my people need me to be." Isn't that a wonderful thought too? Now, I wish I knew Hebrew, and we have a brother here who does know Hebrew, and others maybe who know Hebrew, and they know names of God in Hebrew. But when you find those wonderful names, and you have some books to help you, concordance or whatever, and you discover that God reveals himself in different ways at the beginning of the Bible, and each name is an expression of his nature. So Elohim, creator God, the one who made the world and us and everything in it. And then Adonai, the God who is able to provide for his people exactly at the point of their need. And then you have I am, Yahweh, I am that I am. I am the ever-present God who is here in all your circumstances to be with you and through our Lord Jesus Christ to be in us. And then we also have the revelation in of the God who is now in chapter 6 and verse 1. And Moses had been having a rather hard time, and he said, said the words to the Lord rather strongly, "Lord, you haven't done what you said you're going to do." And, all with reverence, of course. But he was bold enough to say that to the Lord at the end of chapter 5. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh." Now, there is God's now, not only of his nature, but of his power. God is able to do something now in your life and my life that he's never done before. Are we ready for him to do that?
Are we ready for him to work in ways and maybe take us up and use us in some way that we've never known before? Let's have a look in the New Testament, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. And there was a man there who had a strange experience with the Lord. His name was Peter, of course, Matthew chapter 14. And verse 27, you remember that Peter was brave enough to get out of the boat. And sometimes we have to do that. I always remember when I was a young Christian, just really come to know the Lord in a real way. And a friend took me to a conference in Stapleford in Nottinghamshire. And Arthur Wallace was speaking there. And he spoke on the words, launch out into the deep. And he referred to this passage of scripture as well, where Peter got out of the boat. And he said, you know, Peter, it's time to get out of the boat. And anyway, the Lord spoke to me through that word, through Arthur Wallace, bless him. And a few months later, I got out of the boat and joined a missionary society, or went to train with them anyway. So God sometimes does that. Are you ready for that? Glory to his wonderful name. If you could use, yeah, anyway. So Peter gets out of the boat and he's walking on the water, and we all know that what happened was he turned away, he turned his eyes off the Lord and looked at the wind and the waves and started to sink, and so he cries out, Lord, save me, you know, the way that we do, you know, the way that we all panic when we think God's forgotten what's going on in our lives. And immediately Jesus spoke to him, verse 27, saying, be of good cheer, cheer up, he's saying, speaking to the disciples, sorry, cheer up, it is I am, do not be afraid, as Jesus walked on the water to them. It's I am. He used that name of himself. And then he said to Peter, come, and of course the power of the word of the Lord was there, and Peter got out of the boat, and then he started sinking. The Lord rescued him immediately and said, oh, you little faith. You know, that was the Lord's pet name for his disciples, little faith. You know, like we say, you know, to a puppy, it's kind of a little doggy, you know. Oh, you little faith. It's a nice way the Lord had of speaking to his men. But anyway, he took them on from that little faith to something more later on. I am is here, he said to them. And then you remember, if you go on to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and the Lord is revealing who he is. And the people who are listening to him don't like what he says. And if we go right to the end of chapter 8, the Lord says, your father Abraham, in verse 56, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, these are a group of Jews who refused to believe his miracles, refused to believe what their eyes were actually seeing, refused to believe who he said he was. This particular group, there were those Jews who believed wonderfully, praise God. You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And then they took up stones to stone him to death, because they knew that he had used the name of God, of himself. And here he was, a man in flesh and blood before them, stating that he was God and that he knew Abraham, and in fact Abraham had a relationship with him 2,000 years before he appeared on earth. And so that was one of the reasons they wanted to stone the Lord to death. And is God I am to you today? Is he the God of now, or is he the God of your yesterdays? Is he the God who you knew, and you can say, well, you know, X years ago, this happened to me, and that's wonderful. But what about today? Is God wonderful today? Maybe you feel like, yeah, God is wonderful to me, but I'm in these circumstances. Maybe you feel a prisoner of your circumstances. Well, God is in your circumstances. That's the wonderful thing. That whatever circumstances we are in, we are never a prisoner of our circumstances. Paul writes, doesn't he? Paul, a prisoner, but not of Caesar. He says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Yeah, even in the dungeon of the Mamertine prison in Rome, he was not a prisoner of Caesar. He was a slave of Jesus Christ, and he was a free man in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Free from sin, free from the power of the devil. God had delivered him. God, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Is there something in your life where you need to see God work and do something, and you've been believing God for it? God says, now. Think of me today. Yes, here I am. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 13 and just that verse 20. May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The God of peace, hallelujah. Our God is the God of peace. He calls us to peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, and he calls us to be peacemakers too. That's our calling, to be at peace with God. Acquaint now thyself with him, Job said, and be at peace. Yeah, when we acquaint ourselves with Jesus Christ, then the peace of God comes into our hearts and minds and drives out every fear, every doubt, every distortion of God that we'd ever learned before we came to know him. Hallelujah. That may take a lifetime. Yeah, it may take a lifetime. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that when we come to Jesus Christ, God immediately looses us from and pours in his peace into our hearts. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that remains even when everything else has been taken away and everything is gone from you, that you were looking to support you. You find that the peace of God is there. And God can keep you in all sorts of places. I remember being in a Khmer Rouge camp. I think I was there three times, actually, three different Khmer Rouge camps. And there were boys walking around with AK-47s. And God kept my heart in his perfect peace there. Other occasions, which I won't go into. But anyway, God was there and he kept my heart in his perfect peace. And brothers and sisters who I've met in Asia have also testified to that wonderful fact as well, that when they were faced with the hardest things in life, the peace of God that passes all understanding was there. And that peace came at a price. It came at the price of the life of our Lord Jesus. I love that word, our Lord Jesus, in this verse. The God of peace who brought again our Lord Jesus, he is ours in a very real way, isn't he? He's the God of the whole world. He's the God, he's the Lord of life. He's the Lord who was given for sinners everywhere. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loved the world, the whole realm of mankind. But once we are in him, once we belong to Jesus Christ, he is ours too. Hallelujah. And all that is in him becomes ours. And by the Holy Spirit, that can become reality in our lives. Through the precious blood of the everlasting covenant. And I was just looking into these words. Everlasting covenant. What is the everlasting covenant? Well, right at the beginning of the Bible, God uses this term for the first time with Noah and his family. And he says, the rainbow that you see, that is a sign of the everlasting covenant between me and the whole of mankind, who were only 8 people at that time. I will never again destroy the world with a flood. I will never destroy mankind with a flood. So that's the everlasting covenant between God and his creation, which still stands and will stand till the end of time. There was a false prophet called Nostradamus, and if you've ever read any of his prophecies, because they're around everywhere, you'll find he was a false prophet because he says the opposite to that. Well, God says he will never again destroy the world with a flood. But if you want to just come very briefly with me, I'll try and be quick. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, we find the next reference to the everlasting covenant.
and it's with dear Abraham, this man beloved of God, God's friend. The Lord says to him in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. So there it is where God brings in the everlasting covenant. It's with Abraham. It's an expansion, if you like, of that initial promise that God gave to him that he would find blessing in God and through him all the families of the earth would be blessed or find blessing. That was the promise God gave to Abraham, and God gave it to him by covenant, by everlasting covenant. In other words, nobody could ever change it. Nobody could ever undo what God started to do way back then. And praise the name of the Lord. Later on in the same chapter, he says, I'm going to fulfill that covenant through the son of promise. In verse 19, verse 18, Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. And God said to him, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And the New Testament says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In other words, God was preparing a family, and through that family he prepared a nation, and through that nation he prepared a line for the Messiah to come into the earth, who would not only die for that nation, but for the tribes of all the earth, and all the families of the earth, and all the kindreds of the earth, so that all the world might find blessing through the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah, because one man believed God. What do you believe in God for today in your life? What do you believe God for today? Hallelujah. You know, God wants us to believe him. Somebody once said, heaven is full of unanswered prayer. Why? Because nobody's prayed the prayer yet. Hallelujah. God wants us to be alert and aware and to believe him for things that we've never believed him for before. Glory to his wonderful name. I hope God's challenging your heart, because he challenged mine through this. And glory to his wonderful name. So the everlasting covenant promised to Abraham, promised to his descendants. Let's go to 2 Samuel 23. Those of you who are students of the word, you'll know all this already, but please be refreshed. David was in this covenant as well. David, towards the end of his life, he sings a song, and he says this, 2 Samuel 23, verse 5, although my house is not so with God, he said, he's been talking about, he who rules over men must rule in the fear of God and be like the light of the morning when the sun rises. Well, David had known that, but sadly the clouds had obscured the sun, but he came back to the Lord and yielded his life to the Lord again, and the Lord renewed and refreshed him and made him aware of his forgiveness and blessing. Glory to his wonderful name. But maybe that this is just a memory. Although my house is not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. For this is all my salvation. And all my desire, will he not make it increase? Isn't that a great thing? The Lord has made an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. So whoever comes into this covenant is absolutely secure in God. There's no way that God is ever going to let us go. There's no way God is ever going to abandon anybody who enters into this covenant with him. Glory to his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is our God, and we belong to him, and he belongs to us. Glory to his wonderful name. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Glory. Glory to God. Ordered in all things and secure. He's watertight. The devil can't find a way through. Why? Because Jesus died legally in an illegal, he had an illegal, trial by the Jewish opponents who wanted to kill him. He had an illegal trial by the Roman governor Pilate. Everything that he went through, at least six trials, they were all illegal.
because they took place at night and there was no delay. And Pilate shouldn't have done what he did either. It was totally illegal. But he died in order to legally justify you and me, who were sinners in the sight of God, but by the shedding of his precious blood, he delivered you and me, hallelujah, from the penalty and the shame and the guilt of sin forever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus did for you, beloved. And he did it for me. Oh, let the wonder of it fall, reach down, cleanse, and overflow our souls this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because our God, the God of peace, brought up again our Lord Jesus from the dead. He brought him up from the dead. Hallelujah. He went through death in order to justify us, but God brought him out of death. Come to Isaiah chapter 55, just for a moment. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Isn't that wonderful? You might be destitute as a poor student this morning, but you can come to Jesus and find him, fulfill all your heart's desires. Hallelujah. Because this is the promise of God through this wonderful prophet Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You have no money, come buy and eat. Buy without money. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? There's a word for the 21st century. And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. They shall have life more abundantly, said the good shepherd. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Who? You who thirst. You who are hungry. You who are poor in spirit. You who have nothing to offer God but yourself, come, buy, come, receive, come, delight yourself in the Lord. Come and delight yourself in the abundance of the Lord. Hallelujah. He doesn't stint. He doesn't stint. Of his grace have all we received, and grace upon grace. And the more he gives out his grace, the fuller he is. Isn't that wonderful? The more he gives, the fuller he is. Not that God can ever lack anything, of course. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. With you. You who thirst for God. Let's come back to Hebrews. And here is the only mention of the everlasting covenant in the New Testament in this particular phrase. And is to do with our Lord Jesus. So all who enter that covenant of grace and peace with our Lord Jesus Christ, we enter into that everlasting covenant of God through the precious blood that was shed for us. Paul spells it out in Romans, but let's just look in Hebrews 13 just for a moment, verse 11 and 12 again. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Let's go forth to him. If you ever want to sit and meditate for a few minutes, go to the Walker Art Gallery in Port Sunlight. And there's a bench in front of a big picture there of the scapegoat. And around the frame, the words are carved into the frame by the artist himself from Isaiah chapter 53 about the Lord who bore our sins and he bore them all away. Glory to his wonderful name that we should never see them again. Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Jesus wants, that's a wonderful thought, isn't it, that Jesus wants to sanctify you and me. He wants to set us apart. He wants to not only set us apart in the sense of being different, but he wants us to actually be his people who are clean on the inside. Clean on the inside. And the thought came to me just earlier today that as we gather together like this, week by week, Jesus gathers us together to sanctify us. As we gather together, You know, we think, well, we come to worship the Lord, which we do. We come to thank the Lord, which we do. We come to praise the Lord, which we do. We come to pray to the Lord, which we do, to hear his word. And all the while, through all that's going on, the Lord is sanctifying his people. He's working in us and upon us through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Verse 21, Apollos wrote this, but that's just my personal opinion. The writer says this: the Lord, through that blood, precious blood, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. God working in us through the blood of the eternal covenant. That covenant that brings us into the peace of God. God is peace. He's the God of peace. He's the God of love. He's the God of hope. But he's the God of peace. And when we come into his covenant, we come into his peace. And God begins to work in us things that we could never do before. Or I just think of that lady's husband, Savi. Her husband, I said, is president of the Khmer churches in Australia. And he sat down, and one day we were just having a meal, having lunch together with him and his wife in Phnom Penh. And he shared his testimony, and he had a wonderful deliverance by God and came to know the Lord in a refugee camp. And he took him 3 months to decide, is this the true God, or is Buddha the true God? And after 3 months, backwards and forwards between temple and little chapel in the refugee camp, he decided, I'm going to set my life on this course. I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ and give my life over to him. And he did that. He went along to the little chapel. This was not on a Sunday. It was just an ordinary day of the week. But he knew he'd find the pastor there. And the pastor prayed with him. And Savi's husband, whose name is Ung, gave his heart to the Lord. And as he walked out of the chapel, he came face to face with his father's killer. Because Khmer Rouge were put in refugee camps as well. And he knew this was his father's killer because he'd been next door neighbour. This is what happened in that country. And the man looked at him and he knew him. And he looked at the man and he knew the man. But the man couldn't run away, because since that man had killed his father and others of his family, he'd trodden on a landmine and lost a leg. So the man stood there on one leg and a crutch, and knew he couldn't run away. And Ung said to the Lord, he had a battle with the Lord right there and then, he said to the Lord, Lord, let me kill him now and I'll follow you. And the Lord said to him, I've forgiven you a far greater debt. And he heard the voice of the Lord speak to him. Right there and then. God is the God of now. God speaks. And God said to him right there and then, I've forgiven you far more. And he looked the man in the face and he said, I was about to kill you, but my God has just spoken to me and said, I must not do it. I must forgive you. And he forgave him. And he let him go. It's amazing. Could never have done that before he met Jesus Christ face to face. Yeah. He was in the eternal covenant. He still is. He's a lovely brother. Anyway, God brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, and he's in the business of changing lives. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the good shepherd who gives us to feed on his abundance. He's the chief shepherd who will reward every kindness shown in his name to any child of his on the face of the earth, and anyone on the face of the earth come to that. You know, the Lord said, even a cup of cold water I'll remember if you give it to one of my children, because you love me. And his children are in some very funny places. And I was reading earlier on this week about Ebed-Melech. Do you know where Ebed-Melech comes? Thank you. Yes, Jeremiah. Yes, that's right, yes. Yeah, Ebed-Melech, he helped rescue Jeremiah when he was stuck in the mud. And maybe you've got, you know, somebody who's stuck in the mud, and God wants to send you to them, to visit them, to speak to them, to help them get out of the mud. Anyway, he helped him. He was an Ethiopian, an African. And a little later on, when the city was taken by the Babylonian army and lots of killing was going on, God sent a message through Jeremiah to Ebed-Melech, and he said, because you basically help my servant, I'll deliver you from what's going on, and I will give you your life as a prize of war. God rescued Ebed-Melech. God remembers every kindness that we do in the name of our Lord Jesus. So when we're in this eternal covenant, what should we do? Let's go just have a look at a few verses in chapter 13. Go forth bearing his reproach. That's verse 13. We've looked at that. We've heard it. Okay, it means being known as a follower of Jesus Christ in a world that is not friendly to followers of Jesus Christ, and in a society that is either apathetic or maybe even antagonistic to the name of Jesus Christ. But God says, go forth and bear his reproach. I always remember as a young Christian that I was on an outreach team in a town in Scotland, and we'd been on the doors, knocking at the doors all afternoon, and either a door slammed in our face or people laugh at us for saying we were Christians and talking about the Lord and so on. And I got back to the church where we were bunking down, feeling really dejected, and we had a children's meeting at 5 o'clock, and the first person I met was this little girl, and she'd made me a daisy chain. That just broke me up, actually. And I thought, oh Lord, you are in the details. You know just what I needed. Anyway, bear his reproach. When we bear his reproach, glory to his name. Jesus is there. Hallelujah. That's what Peter says. When you bear the reproach of Christ, the Spirit of glory and of God is resting upon you. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? We can't see him. We don't know it. We don't realize it. But when we bear his reproach, Jesus is right there. Glory to his wonderful name. The next thing is, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Let's set our sights. Paul says in Colossians, set your sights on things above, not on things on the earth. Things on the earth, yeah, they're important from day to day. There's stuff we need to do, there are jobs we need to do, there are relationships we have, there are things that we've all got to be involved in. But Paul said, don't let those things entangle you. Don't let them weigh you down. Don't let them burden you. Don't let them be a weight upon you. You know, cast off the weight so you can run well. If you're watching the Olympics, you know, the runners, they're running well. And they're running well because they're not in training anymore. They're in the real thing. And we're in the real thing. The real thing with Jesus. Because he's the real man. And he says, okay, cast off the weights. Weights, what are weights? Well, things that come in and, you know, they tie you up and bind you down and make you feel heavy and make you feel joyless and sad. Okay, throw anything that does that to you, throw it out. And don't let it into your life. And set your sights on him. Okay, set your sights on him. Because he's at the right hand of the Father. And glory to his wonderful name, he's coming back. Very suddenly, one day. And verse 15. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's the next thing we need to do. Give thanks to God continually. Do we do that, beloved? Do we give thanks to God? Continually. Yeah. Okay, it's okay this morning, but tomorrow morning, when things don't exactly work right, or the next day, do we give thanks to God? Okay, continually. The more we realize what it costs the Lord to save us, the more thanks will rise from our hearts. That's my experience anyway. As we get down on our knees and say, thank you, Lord. And we don't have to get down on our knees because sometimes our knees don't work very well. But we can in our hearts. Hallelujah. We get down on our knees in our hearts and the Lord knows that. Hallelujah. He knows every ache and pains in our bodies. Bless him. Let there be a continual sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving rising from Longford Christian Fellowship. Let it rise. Hallelujah. All through the week, day by day. Let that be the first thing in the morning. Let the praise of God and thanks be to God rise from our hearts before we think of anything else. Hallelujah. And lastly, verse 16, don't forget to do good and to share what you have. It's great to share what you have. Even if it's you've got more beans in the garden than you can eat. You know, somebody, we were in South Wales last week and at a little church sharing about Cambodia, and afterwards somebody gave us a bag of fresh vegetables they picked from the garden that afternoon. Oh, the potatoes were delicious and the beans were too. Yeah, share what you have. And if you don't know what to share, ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit will tell you what you can share. He'll tell you. He's faithful that way. Hallelujah. And it's amazing what a little kindness, what doors a little kindness could open for the Lord. I remember some poor students in Glasgow who were sharing the gospel, and this old lady came up and said, could you spare a few pennies so I can feed my family? And anyway, these poor students took out their pockets what they had, put it together, and it made a few pounds. And this lady said she was very grateful. And she said, please come to my house and tell us about Jesus on Sunday night. And these students walked to the house on Sunday night because they hadn't got the bus fare. Anyway, they found 20 people in the house gathered waiting to hear the word of the Lord that this old lady had got together. And they were all members of her family, her extended clan. She was basically a gypsy and she got all her clan together to hear the gospel. Hallelujah. Just a little kindness opened a wonderful door there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's do that. And then lastly, in verse 18, the writer says this, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for those who are sharing the gospel. Pray for those who are stuck in the mud. Pray for those who are going through sore trials, as we heard earlier, and at the prayer meeting on Thursday night. Pray for those who are going through difficult places. Pray for those who are getting involved, engaged with the mission field that's come to our doorstep. I was just thinking of a couple who called Mar and Pa Rowe. They had a business in Birmingham, very successful furniture business, and they came to know the Lord and they started to tithe. And then they started to 20th and then the 30th and 40th and 50th of their money. So in the end, they gave away half the profits to the Lord's work. And then the Lord called them out of business and into a life of faith with WEC. And they became supporters and they did a wonderful work. And they treated students like royalty and they were wonderful people. But the thing was, they couldn't go anywhere, but they could do what they could do. And they gave their hearts to praying. The world has come to our doorstep. We always used to say that, you know, the mission field is out there. Well, the mission field is here now. Shirley Rennick working with Iranians mainly in Liverpool. And they're coming to the Lord. Wonderful. Praise the name of the Lord. They're coming into the eternal covenant because of the blood shed by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And when he shed his precious blood there, it was through the eternal spirit. So it is incorruptible blood. It has power to work now. Power to not only wash us clean, but to keep us clean. As we walk in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus goes on cleansing us from sin. Glory to his wonderful name. Praise his name. Let's pray, shall we?